Well, thank you, Lord Jesus, for opportunity to open your word once again. I pray that today my heart and the hearts of those that are here and anyone listening online will be able to know you better and know you more. And I pray that you'll impress on our hearts how important the body of Christ is. Amen. One body in Christ is the title for today's text, Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. You'll find on page 1732 in the Pew Bible. One body in Christ. And I think that that's something as we read through Scripture, we keep running into this term and this concept of being in Christ. And being in Christ really does change everything. It causes us to know who we are. Because if we're in Christ, we recognize that our righteousness, our holiness, comes from Him. We put on His robe of righteousness, and He takes all of our sins and He buries them and puts them somewhere where we're never going to see Him again. And He doesn't keep a record of wrongs. That's the kind of love that He has for us. And so being in Christ is a good place to be. Christians should be the happiest people on the planet. We really have so much. When we sing this song, it's hard for me to sing the song, The Love of God. Think about, you know, this ocean being bled dry by just writing about His love. And if you know Jesus, that's got to touch your heart, because we could never stop telling the breadth and the depth of His love. It's just, it's immense. And I get choked up. It's hard to try to lead a song like that, because you can't lead songs when you can't see the music, because you got tears in your eyes and you're not able to sing because you're just kind of welling up. And knowing the love of God, it's just precious. But one of the best ways that we can know the love of God is through the body of Christ. We know it from one another, from each other. When somebody knocks on your door and just says hi they get to meet people and you know, everyone shows up at the same time sometimes. It's like God has a way of putting things together. And even this week I had a good conversation with a gentleman that has cussed me out before and told me that my God is just a crutch and that I'm just wasting my time. And we had a good conversation this week, and he talked about how he's been praying for his family and for his mom and dad, and he's uncomfortable with the terminology. And I don't know if he really totally understands the love of God yet, but he does know the love of God through many of the people that he's met. And I believe that Jesus is continuing to work on him. And so when we have contact with others, we're bringing Christ to the world. If we're not the visible manifestation of God's love, we're doing something wrong. When people think about the church in Skycomish or the church in general, we shouldn't be thinking those are those judgmental people that have all kinds of hang-ups and they're trying to control everybody's lives. They should be thinking those are people that love each other. Those are people that love us. Those are people that care. Those are people that live a life of integrity and they say and do the same things. Amen. And that's really, when we start talking about the body of Christ, it's like, okay, that can be a just kind of a weird ephemeral thought, or it can be a reality. And I like that in this little congregation, it's been a reality and it's becoming more and more of a reality. And I think that's important, that we move forward in Christ as one body. The text from Romans: for just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We belong to one another. That concept of, you think about your body, okay, there's parts in your body, your eyes have a purpose to see. Your ears have a purpose to hear. Your hands to lift, to touch, to move, to do all kinds of things. God has created the body of Christ in the same way that He created the human body. It's intricate. It's involved in ways that we don't even fully understand. If we take and get a vaccination, for example. There's a lot of faith and trust that that's going to do something in there. We don't know what. It's going to hopefully help when you eat a meal. That meal is going to do something in your body and help you. When you breathe air, whether it's good air or bad air, that has an effect on you. And so there's so many little intricate parts of the body. You could spend your entire life studying the biology of the human body and never fully understand it. That's why they still say doctors are practicing medicine. We can learn a lot, and God has gifted many humans with the ability to know much more than we deserve to know. And yet, even at that, he's the only one that really fully understands our body. And now Paul's using this as an example, as a picture, a word picture of the church, the body of Christ. And if you think about that, hopefully it helps us understand that there's things about the body of Christ we don't understand. But there's a purpose too. Maybe this little congregation has a different purpose than the congregation down in Gold Bar and congregations over in Leavenworth and congregations in Cle Elum. And each little congregation, Orondo, you know, we go to these little churches and they're all part of the body of Christ. And collectively, it's the body of Christ. Now, we have a little microcosm here, and I believe that in every congregation, God places all of the gifts that are necessary. Anything that's needed for spiritual growth and life is available within the body that's together. Whether we struggle with that, whether we fight with that, with our own fleshly desires or problems that we run into, because we let me read back just a few verses here. Romans 12, verse 1, Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, another part of your body. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith of God, with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Now, in this little body, God has distributed a certain amount of faith. He's distributed gifts. He's distributed everything that we could possibly need. And so when we give our bodies as a living sacrifice, we can extend that from today's text that we're given the body of Christ, we're given the little church congregation as a sacrifice to God. It's our reasonable service. It's like, look at how much he loves us. All he's done, like, we're just responding. It's like when you've met that special person and when Kathy says, I love you, and my heart is, I love you too. And we do that with God. He tells us he loves us. And we're responding, I love you too, Lord. But even within this little congregation, each of us has a different function, a different purpose. Not everyone has the same function. What did God design you to do? Be the best that you were designed to be. If you were designed to be an eye, don't try so hard to be a big toe. It's like, be what God made you to be. And understand that if everyone is who God made them to be, the body functions quite well. When our bodies stop functioning, we can lose balance real quickly. We can have all kinds of problems. Our bodies can lose that homeostasis. We can lose the balance that we have between all the parts. And then kind of what's happening with our friend in the hospital, she's struggling with the brain and the heart and the kidneys and the stomach and the lungs, and all these are trying to fight with one another and like, look at me, I need help, and they're all trying to get attention. And I think sometimes that goes on in the body of Christ where we're all trying too hard to point attention to ourselves rather than just being who God made us to be. if we're a proper functioning kidney, we're doing what we need to do, and hopefully we'll never be seen or thought of. And I think that concept of just being who you are. Know who God is, know who you are, and understand that when we're in Christ, we can do all things. We really are capable of functioning together with one another in a way that is miraculous. It goes beyond understanding. Just a few short scriptures today. I'm going to go to Genesis 1. If you want to follow along in the Pew Bible, that's going to be way back around page 1, isn't it? Pretty close. Genesis 1 and verse 26 is going to be on page 2. And it's just part of the creation story. I find this remarkable when we think about the body of Christ, okay? That the church is a body. Well, when God was first ready to do creation, this is how he spoke of creating humans. He'd already created a lot of other things, light and day and night and darkness and all of the animals. And he gets to humans. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." He's talking about himself in the plural. It's kind of interesting. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all part of creation. "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Male and female are both in the image of God. Now, if you think about God, he's like, okay, this is going to be the pinnacle of my creation. I've created a whole lot of beautiful things, wonderful things that can stand on their own. But now I'm going to create something that's going to be able to be the ultimate in creation. As he created everything else, he said, God looked at it, he said, it's good. But when he created humans, he says, and he saw it, and it's very good. Created in the image of God. And again, being God's image bearer, that gives us some responsibility. When Jesus was asked about, you know, should we pay taxes or not, he said, well, bring me a coin. Whose image is on that coin? Caesar's? Okay, well, give to Caesar what's Caesar's, but give to God what's God's. Amen. You're in the image of God. We present our bodies to him as a living sacrifice. We give to God what's God's. And so if we're in the image of God as humans, as individuals, and now Paul's saying he's going to equate the church to the body of Christ. It's not only just in the image of God, but we kind of actually become Christ as the body of Christ. And that's a weird thought, and we have to be careful when we start thinking that way. But it's something that's beyond my understanding. To be able to be actually part of Christ's body. We're already his image bearers, but now we're becoming even closer. In Psalms, Psalm 139, David writes this beautiful psalm, and I'm just going to pull a little section out of the middle of it. It's worthy of spending time. Psalm 139, you could go there and spend a very long time enjoying different angles that he looks at. In the Pew Bibles, getting closer there. Keep thinking you've turned enough pages in Psalms, and then there's more. Psalm 139, and starting with verse 13, will be on page 959 in the Pew Bible. The psalm starts out with, "You've searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise." That's what back in verse 1. "You perceive my thoughts from afar." And he starts talking about how close he and God are. And as he's contemplating his position, who God is and who he is, he gets to this little section that starting in verse 13. "For you created my inmost being. It's like, yeah, you've searched me, but you didn't just search me. You created me. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You ever think about that? Fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. If that doesn't get you, your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God knows us in our entirety. He understands totally because he's our creator. If you think about, he's talking about the secret place, in the depths of the earth you were formed. We're made up of a bunch of molecules. They came from somewhere. It's kind of, you know, God created all this, and here we are. Well, how did that happen? You know, humans have tried their hardest, and they're getting closer. There's actually some weirdness going on in the scientific world where they're taking artificial embryos and combining them with animal embryos and doing some other strange things, and pretty soon we're going to have, you know, goat people or something. I don't know. I mean, science, because they can, they keep on trying to push the limits. And I think they're trying to figure out, okay, how did this happen? You know, where did life come from? And trying to understand life. But even then, they have to start with something that God created, even to come up with their concepts of where did life come from. We were fearfully and wonderfully made in the secret place. God knew us before we were even in our mother's womb. God knows every part of us. He sees our unformed body when it's in the depths. And he understands our entire life. It's all plotted out, and he knows exactly how many days we have. Ephesians, we're sneaking back to Ephesians again. Can't help myself. A few years just wasn't long enough. There's still more here. Ephesians chapter 4, it's on page 1786 in your pew Bible. Starting with verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. He kind of just throws in there in Ephesians, you know, it's like the body of Christ. Well, what is that? That's the church. And he's made that clear throughout his other epistles and in Ephesians as well. And God has gifted the body of Christ. God has gifted the church with all of the functions that are necessary for that church to grow. Some of them are mentioned here: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. As we continue on in Romans 12, we're going to see that, you know, whatever you were designed to be, if you were built to be an encourager, be an encourager. If you were built to be a giver, give generously, all that kind of stuff. It's like whatever you were made to be, do that really well. And God's saying here that you know, through Paul, that the body of Christ is going to get built up and be just part of to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. How do we attain that? I can't attain that on my own. I certainly can't do it in my own strength. And even just me sitting on a mountaintop, you know, being a guru and trying to figure out, okay, Lord, come to me, and we could meditate all day long, and I could attain a good relationship with God that way. But the fullness is going to come in body life. The fullness of Christ, the full measure of Christ, is going to be when the whole body of Christ is functioning properly and working together. And we're all doing our part, what we were created to do. So trying to be the Lone Ranger Christian, a lot of people think, you know, churches are messed up, I don't want to deal with that. I get that. I mean, there's a time period in our lives where Kathy and I kind of avoided church. It's like, okay, those people are all weird, and I don't want anything to do with that. And it's just so much easier to try to seek God alone. But you know what turns out to be not true is like when I'm off on my own trying to seek God. Yeah, I didn't lose my relationship with Him, but it didn't get more depth. It didn't get better. And it got to a point where I'm mowing somebody's lawn and some stranger walks up to me and says, "Do you know Jesus?" And then he starts witnessing to me. And I'm kind of feeling a little bit convicted, but not enough to do anything about it. And then I was going to try to take flight lessons and decided I wanted to do something for myself. You know, school teachers can't afford to fly, by the way, but I found a way to do it and, you know, put some money together. I was taking flight lessons. And first ride that I'd taken with this gal over at Tacoma Narrows, we're up. I've never flown that type of plane before. I've got the controls, but she's just talking to me, and she says, "I think I know your brother, and he's a Christian, isn't he? And are you a Christian too?" And then she looks down and she sees these seals down on a little island just off of between Anderson and McNeil, Little Eagle Island. There were a bunch of seals on the beach. She says, "Oh, I want to get a closer look," and she goes into a nosedive. Well, part of why I wanted to take flight lessons is because I was afraid of heights. And especially falling. And we're going down like this, and she's still talking to me about Jesus. And I'm thinking, "Lord, I got the message." And we got back into church and started seeking Christ in body life again. Because if you're not part of the body of Christ, you're trying to do it out there alone, it's just not right. And so we've got to realize the body of Christ is the only place we're going to find the full measure. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then verse 16 there, from Him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Have you ever woken up one morning and you've got a pain that you don't remember from the day before, and it's like, okay, you're trying to walk and that part of your leg hurts differently? And then you kind of wonder, will that ever go away, or is this just a new normal for me? And sometimes it goes away, thankfully. And yet, you know, just the weirdest little thing. I mean, if the ligaments aren't holding properly to the other parts of the body, you know, your bones can separate from the muscles and the ligaments that are supposed to kind of hold them together. And as we get older, it doesn't take very much sometimes, you know, you jump off of a 3-inch rock and it feels different than I used to be able to jump off of roofs and you know, tall chairs and things like that all the time. I remember as a kid, we had a stairway and it was probably 15 stairs between one of the landings and the bottom floor. And I jumped that whole distance just for fun, you know, because it was cool to do. If I can imagine if I tried that right now, I don't know if I'd get back up. It would be a 911 call, you know. But the body of Christ, it's like sometimes there's parts in the body of Christ that are a little bit injured and they need to be babied a little bit and nurtured and taken care of. Some parts of the body of Christ need to just take a rest sometimes. But if the rest of the body is not there nurturing and helping and caring for it, it may never heal properly. Because there still needs to be some exercise as you heal. Your healing process doesn't stop just because, you know, it's like we gotta keep moving. What, motion is lotion. It's one of those things that in the body of Christ, motion is lotion. We're either moving closer and closer to Christ, or we're probably falling back. Just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. As we belong to one another, let's just find a way to rest in the knowledge that Jesus is the one that holds it all together. So if we're in Christ, we're in His blessing, we're in a good place, we're in, you know, we're... Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear any evil, for he's with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Thank you, Lord. You are so good.
Is response appropriate, Tony?